Just before I introduce the other half, we had the first half last Sunday, the other half of the Philippines mission team. It's always nice to have brothers who remind you of the things you forget. So I knew there was something else on my list that I needed to let you know about this morning. A couple of weeks ago, Brother Oni, our youth pastor, the pastor of our youth congregation and youth worker, advised us as the United Elders that he believed his time had come to an end with us here at Southside. Oni's been here now with us for 4 years, he and Brenny and their two sons, and God has done an amazing thing, starting with 10 young people meeting as a distinct congregation, the youth congregation that meets across the road at the school, starting with 10 people, average these days about 50, 60 young people meeting over there, if not more, every Sunday from all our congregations. And a real strength and indeed a real hub of our church has been English Sunday school and English youth congregation, and by that I mean high school congregation, catering for the second generation. Historically, the reality across Australia is that there are many ethnic churches, many different language churches, but tragically, they lose the second generation. And that's the conviction of Southside, that we are a multi-generational church and we want to rescue and disciple the second generation. And that was part of the thinking behind the youth congregation. And that's what brought Oni here. And so it will be sad to see Oni complete this ministry. And yet we acknowledge that God is God. And God begins and God brings to an end ministries. That's reality, something all of us in ministry knows about. And so Oni will be concluding his ministry here as youth pastor at the end of April, and we will be taking an opportunity to honour him before that time. And the United Elders are currently thinking about transition plans. We certainly will be continuing our youth ministry, and we know God will raise up the right people at the right time. And so can I also be encouraging you to be praying about that? And then quickly, on the back of the bulletin is for young adults, post-high school, or however you define young adults. Can I just draw your attention to that? There's a kickoff event upstairs on the 2nd of March at 5:30. Read the details. It's on Facebook. I'm sure if you are part of that network, you will be already knowing about it, but plan to come along. Another aspect of what happened at the leaders' retreat was that we briefly started talking about our vision as a church here at Southside. And we threw around some words, and we're still throwing around words and still thinking about it. But whatever words we end up using, at the heart of who we see ourselves to be as a community of Christ's followers is that we are about training and equipping people. In Ephesians, we read that God gifts his church to equip people for works of service. And so in all that we do, we are about training and equipping people for works of service. As a church, we sent a team to the Philippines. And indeed, there are many appropriate expressions of short-term mission. But we sent this team in a very intentional way. We wanted to train and equip them to serve Jesus. And we saw that as part of that equipping was to expose them to a world smaller than their present world. Now, you might think, hang on a second, when you see this team, actually, why don't you just stand up and turn around? This is just half the team. Spot the Aussie. Okay, thanks, God. They're all Aussies. And you, thanks guys, you might think, okay, hang on a second, these guys, a lot of them weren't born in Australia. They've already got a big understanding of Australia. Maybe not. Maybe not. And our intentional strategy in thinking about global mission, and you hear about the global missions team, well, what sits behind that is training and equipping people to see a bigger world than their current world and to explore where they might fit in what God's doing in that. And so as I invite Dennis, the other team leader, to come and introduce the team and share with us, let me encourage you to be asking God this morning, as you listen to their stories, as you listen to the challenge, the way God challenged them, God, where do I fit in this? What are you saying to me this morning? Let me pray for you guys, and then Dennis, you come. Father, speak to us. I mean, all of us live in our world. We need to do that. But this morning, I pray, God, that you would take us out of our world, our little world, regardless of where we were born, and let us see the world as you see it. And God, yes, come, Holy Spirit, challenge us to think about where we might fit in what you're doing in the world. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Pastor Kevin. All right. So just want to thank you for this opportunity that for our team to be able to share here with you guys some of the experiences that we had. So I just want to introduce the team that is here. We have Alex from the Hmong congregation. Yep. Elena from Hmong and Youth. Kamini from English. Rebecca from Chinese. And Michelle from English as well. So I was actually walking down the road another day on my way to, well, you know, the usual supermarket. And as I turned the corner, what at the back of my mind I was expecting to see wasn't exactly the usual Coles or Woolies, but the devastation of the typhoon Haiyan that has wrecked Tacloban and the surrounding areas in the Philippines. It seems like these images of my time there and the people that I met in Philippines have really deeply buried at the back of my mind's eye. When I cried out in a silent prayer, it is this: what, O Lord, do you want me to do with this? How can I use what you have given me by the way of skills and gifts to further your work among your people? I've been on a personal journey myself here. When I was in uni, which is around 8-9 years ago, to find ways which I can be more fully understand about his heart for the world itself. In early days, I was under the impression that the only way that I could serve him was to go to Bible college and then serve under a traditional missionary, and mission was only really about going in to share gospel with the people and nothing else. But in a world filled with so much needs, does being a traditional missionary really make sense for me? And even if I could serve in another capacity, what form could it be? Why did he give me the skill sets that I have from all my study? And how could he use me? Can I really make a difference at all, considering I'm not exactly wise or strong? I figured the only way to get some idea about what I may be getting into and his leading is really to go and find it out myself and learn from those who are actually attempting to make a difference out there. Once heard someone suggested the epitome of the modern day society would be something like this: the civilization died because it didn't want to be bothered. When we were in Manila, we witnessed so much apathy that is in the society. For example, Jerry, who is an international worker working with underprivileged women at a birthing house, felt so deeply about this. I quote her: "People don't care about these women and children. In fact, they would rather that they were gone." They would rather have them gone somewhere else so that they don't have to be, they don't have to doubt, they don't have to deal with them. People who are just swept aside because the society couldn't be bothered. To give you an example, Janelle, who is a young teenager, when one of the pastors at the Cells Alive Church, Pastor Dudoy, came across him in 2008. He was living in a cardboard box with his younger sister in an alleyway of Sanguina. They were forced to leave home as their father passed away, and his mother was forced to choose between them or her new husband. With no education and skills, Janelle was living without any hope for even a job, not to mention a future. When we were back in Tacloban, the city itself was flattened by the cyclone Haiyan. You can see how the devastation is. People were still struggling with basic necessities like food supply. Bill, one of the international workers that we met there, along with his wife Debbie, was so happy that our team were there when we arrived. What surprised me wasn't exactly the need that is there, but the fact that most people chose to give them money instead of being willing to help preparing and distributing them on the ground. To quote Bill, we have 4 containers full of food supplies, but we just can't get enough people to help out with distributing them there. I was shocked and dismayed, as I found it hard to believe that there was no one willing to help while tens of thousands of people suffers because of our inaction. I feel disgusted, because I used to think like that as well. And how wrong I was. The civilization died because it didn't want to bother. Now, this is the world that we have been talking about. But my question to every single one of us sitting here is that there is apathy in the world. Has that apathy of the world infected the church? Do we have a take-it-or-leave-it mentality with God's work? And particularly with missions, just because we don't want to be bothered. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to verse 26 said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed to you, unto you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I believe the communion itself is not just a reminder of what the Lord has done for all of us on the cross, but also serve as a reminder for us as Christians, as Christ followers, to take up our cross and to follow his example in our walk itself. And that in itself is the essential to overcome the apathy that cripples us as a church to fulfill its calling. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. And to summarize some of the aspects of Christ's ministry that were reflected on different experiences during this trip, we have divided them into a few different areas: compassion, commission, community, anticipation, and participation. So, without further ado, I'll ask Elena out, and she will share with us about some of her experiences that she had when she is on the ground.
In our final week in Manila, I found myself waiting on the lush green campus of Faith Academy, a Christian school whose student population is made up primarily of missionary kids and kids of business people. We were waiting for a person to take us on a tour of the campus, and I was surprised when I saw an elderly gentleman walking up to us with a newborn baby up against his left side of his chest. This gentleman, Steve, was to be our guide. He explained that the little boy he was carrying would be joining us on our tour of the school. And with a huge fatherly smile, Steve told us that this baby was a Christmas gift from God to Steve and his wife. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, how special that this baby was born on Christmas Day. Steve continued to say, he was found abandoned in the markets. We believe he may have been abandoned by a Tacloban lady, as a large number of people from Tacloban had just been evacuated into the area. He was taken to an orphanage, however, they were too full and couldn't take him. Being born with no left eye too would have made the circumstances much more difficult. At this point, Steve and his wife decided to take in this abandoned child as their own. Being in their 50s, with their own children already grown up, they now get to experience the challenges and joy of raising a child all over again. I struggle even now as I talk about this to comprehend what may have happened to this child if not for this act of love and deep compassion that this man and wife gave to this little boy. I came to also find out that Steve was the principal of Faith Academy. A man of such high status having this level of genuine compassion astonishes me. He reminds me of Jesus. Although Jesus is God, the great and mighty creator of all things, he never stopped having compassion on the people that he encountered. Jesus showed the greatest compassion of all, that he sacrificed his own life for us so that we may have eternal life. God could have chosen not to give mankind another chance, but he did. Steve could have chosen not to give this child another chance, but he did. We are God's hands and feet on this earth to help and love people. Just as Matthew 25:40 says, the king will reply, I will tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of these brothers of mine, you did for me. On so many occasions on this short-term trip, and I can honestly say every day on this short-term mission trip, I was overwhelmed by the people that I met, you know, the people who are amazingly compassionate, who committed their lives to serve God as hands and feet in this world. And I've been personally challenged to ask God to help use me to be an answer to somebody's prayer every day. And I guess today I leave you also with this, to ask God how you can be an answer to someone's prayer.
Thanks, Elena. So I guess especially with some of us who is able to do so, to indeed have a think about what Elena has mentioned and ask God how you can answer his ask God how you can be his answer to someone's prayer itself. And I believe Carmony, who will be sharing with us, has another perspective as she visited the Faith Academy as well. So I'll pass the time to her.
Mine came under the heading of commission. All right. Yeah, there it is. Spelling was wrong. Okay. In 2007, Evangeline, a young Asian American from New Jersey, went on a short-term mission trip to Africa. It was during this trip that Evangeline realized a calling on her life, a calling to be involved in overseas missions. Being a pastor's kid, she expected that her decision to get involved in missions would be well received and encouraged. She was, however, met with great objections, especially from her dad, a pastor of a Cantonese congregation. To Evangeline, this came as a complete surprise and shock. Her parents, thinking with their Asian mindset, felt that going down this route would be like committing social suicide and entail a life of poverty for Evangeline. However, Evangeline, with more of an American mindset, could not quite comprehend this point of view. And after many tears and heated arguments, turned to the Lord and poured her heart out to him. She realized in the days ahead that her calling entailed the use of her talents in the area of teaching. So she enrolled in college to get a teaching degree and committed herself to wait on the Lord for his leading and to reveal his purposes. In the months and years ahead, she continued to pray and about her burden for missions, attend church, and other mission-related activities and conventions. At one missions meeting, she met a mission representative, Steve Schwartz, who encouraged her to continue attending and fellowshipping with mission-minded churches and people, and to continue her studies in the meantime and get some experience of working in New Jersey while she was praying for guidance about missions. Well, Evangeline did graduate eventually as a teacher and taught in one of the public schools in New Jersey. But her burden for missions continued to grow within her. Having been to Africa before, she thought she would check out the Rift Valley International School in Kenya, East Africa. But a friend suggested that she also look into and apply at the Faith Academy in Manila, Philippines. Evangeline did her research, applied for a position at the Faith Academy, and the Lord opened this door wide for her. When she spoke to her parents, letting them know that she was thinking about going overseas to teach in a mission-related capacity, they were much more agreeable now. The timing was right. However, her biggest surprise upon arriving at Faith Academy in Manila in 2013 was to find that the principal of Faith Academy was none other than Steve Schwartz, the man she had met nearly 5 years ago in New Jersey, and who had shared some words of wisdom with her. So now Evangeline is living out her commission from the Lord, Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Well, listening to Evangeline's story and meeting up with all the other staff members at Faith Academy was one of the many highlights of our visit to Manila in January. It is my desire to live out God's commission for me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. By using the skills that God has given me. And towards that end, just like Evangeline, I too am involved with mission-centered events and people in this church. Thank you.
Thanks, Kamini, and my apology for the typo. I guess another aspect of Christ's life is really the fact that he doesn't focus, while he focuses on the individuals, but he also focuses in communities as well. So I'll just invite Michelle to come up and share with us about her experiences that she had in Philippines.
Struggling to live a few years ago, Anna Lou used to live by selling vegetables and odds and ends on the street. She was a tired and hardly smiled girl, and when she did smile, she would hide her smile behind her hands. Due to malnutrition and poor dental care, she had lost most of her teeth, along with her self-confidence. Beside the reality, education and the future just seemed like a faraway dream. It so happened that a pastor that used to know her and got to know her and encouraged her to join the Bright Lights program to complete her education and the possibility of a better future. While that was a step forward for her, she still lacked self-confidence. This is until she met Dr. Cynthia Bylett, a dentist whose mission is not just to serve the patients that come into her clinic, but the community that surrounds her, including the squatter community of St. Brenner, that Rick Bell and Sales Alive Church ministers in. At no cost to Annaloo, Dr. Thinthia Bilott gave Annaloo a complete new set of teeth. She did not just give Annaloo a set of teeth. She has given her self-confidence and her integrity. Look at her smile today.
Great.
Dr. Thinthia, like many other missionaries and helpers who we have met in Philippines, they give selflessly of their time, money, energy, investing in other people so they might have a hope and a future. And